I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of.
Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. We've got a really important show for you today. If you listen often enough, you know I have a few regular guests that come on. Than Bennett joins me for Faith Perspective from the Hill. We've got Dr. Troy on for Health and Healing and the Process of Wholeness. And today we're going to talk to my friends Tom and Joanne Doyle, who give us, we try to get them on regularly to get an update from the Middle East. If you watch the news, you hear a lot of bad news coming out of the Middle East, but the good news is making a splash in the Middle East. And I'm sure you know this by now, but if not, you should. Muslims are coming to faith in Jesus Christ in record numbers. Well, Tom and Joanne Doyle have a ministry in the Middle East, and they are boots on the ground. And so they've got specific stories to tell us of how the gospel is changing everything. I want you to be encouraged, but I also want us to have a global view of our Christianity, to be praying for our persecuted brothers and sisters. The cost for a Muslim to convert to Christianity is typically their lives, but if not, they're in danger, in fear of their lives as they meet secretly, as they pronounce the love of Jesus. It is absolutely amazing the courage and conviction our brothers and sisters in the Middle East have, and I just want us to be praying for them on a regular, continual basis. We're going to get Tom and Joanne on in just a moment. Quick announcement, if you have a dream of being published, I would love for you to join us. I'll be at the Northwestern Christian Writers Conference. I'm on the committee that hosts this conference. It's July 16th, 17th. I've got some one-on-ones. I don't know if they're all taken up yet or not, but I'll be emceeing as well. And I'll be in the Pro Advice Room where you can get some advice. And I'll be on the panel luncheon as well where you can ask questions. So we would love to see you. We're meeting in person this year. It's going to be great. You can find out more information on the website, NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com. Quick note now before I introduce Tom and Joanne. I'm drawing from a couple of their books. Tom's book, Standing in the Fire, Courageous Christians Living in Frightening Times. You will literally hold your breath while reading this book. Every story is like a drama movie, like you can't even twists and turns and danger and dialogue. And the same thing with Tom and Joanne's book, Women Who Risk, Secret Agents for Jesus in the Muslim World. They are the best storytellers. You're not even going to believe these stories. I don't even know how many copies we have of each to give away, but we've got some copies to give away. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. All right, now. Let me tell you about my guests. We'll get him on the show. Tom Doyle is president and founder of Uncharted Ministries, an accomplished author, popular international speaker, pastor, minister to the unreached, and veteran tour guide in Israel and the Middle East. His book, Standing in the Fire, was a finalist for the ECPA Book of the Year in 2018. Joanne is the founder of Not Forgotten. It's a women's ministry division of Uncharted, their other ministry. She's a popular international speaker, a voice for women in the Middle East, and the host of Flourish, a Christian women's satellite TV program that broadcasts into Iran. Is that not amazing? Tom and Joanne, welcome back to the program.
Great to be with you, Susie.
Hello, Susie. It's always a joy to be with you. Thank you for having us.
We love and appreciate you so very much. And you know this because you've been on before. We love to start every day talking scripture. And Joanne, I wonder, what has the Lord just been speaking to you about in your times with Him these days?
Oh, boy, He has been convicting me the last few days from Psalm 78, verses 2 to 7. And Psalm 78 talks about passing on the hope that is within us to the next generation. I'll read you these verses. So I've been praying them. We have what do we have now, Tom? 10 grandkids and 3 on the way. So lots of new lives to pour into. And it starts in verse 2 with, I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past. Stories where we have heard and known, stories of our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about His power and His mighty wonders. For He has issued His laws to Jacob. He gave them His instruction to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children so the next generation may know them, even the children not yet born. And they will in turn teach their own children. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. Psalm 78, verses 2 through 7. So this is my mantra and charge through this summer and beyond.
Beautiful, Joanna. Love it. How about you, Tom?
Well, you know, one of the things I love that the Lord does is take you back to verses that you have memorized, but all of a sudden there's a new light on them because of your human experience or people you meet. And this one, we all know it. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. And as I look at this verse, it just hit me afresh as we're starting to work in Pakistan and seeing the joy of the believers there that are coming to faith in Christ, but yet in a terribly hostile Muslim country. And yet they know this from the get-go, Janet. They know, Susie, that they're going to be live a difficult life, and they have crucified their flesh, and they live with joy. It's amazing to see it in action.
You know, I woke up with talking about memorized verses, Tom. I woke up with Revelation 12:11 on my heart. Just sat up, and it was in my heart. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and loved not their lives even unto death. And it's so amazing to me how often in the West, I'll hear that verse quoted, and they leave off the last part. You'll be overcome by the blood and by the word of our testimony, and they love not their life. And I just was asking the Lord in my own time, I want to know in increasing measures about the power of the blood. I want to know in increasing measures about the power of the word of my testimony. And I want to die daily that I can go deeper, love not my life, even unto death. And they really do model that. When I read your stories, I'm absolutely blown away. So if you would, let's start with you, Tom. Talk to us about what's going on in Pakistan.
Well, you know what? We didn't know this, Susie, but we found out this year in the last 12 months that there is approximately 3 million believers in Pakistan. This is the fifth ranking worst country for Christians to live on Open Doors World Watch list for 2021. And of the 3 million, did you know there's approximately a million of them that are actually slaves? We didn't know that. How come that's not on the news? These are people, the Christians, that cannot pay their debts. And so they are working in brick factories and making bricks, much like the children of Israel did in Exodus, in the Old Testament, when they were in Egypt. And so they're there, and when they sign off their debt to be paid, they are there for life. They're there for life because the brick owners of the factories keep moving the finish line farther and farther. They never get out of debt, and many of them are second and third generation Christians that all they've ever known is slavery in the brick factories.
And one thing you are doing is buying their freedom. Is that right?
Yes. We found out that many of them, their debts are not that much. So when a leader in Pakistan that we got to know started telling us about this one family, and it was just tragic what they had gone through, their debt was this, $750. That was it. And so we thought, we've got to do something about this. And we talked to this leader in Pakistan, can you buy them out? And he said, well, yes, you can. And so we did that. And here's the family that both of their parents were in slavery. That's all they've ever known. And they were set free, taken to a safe location because, you know, unfortunately, hardline Muslims run the factories and they have to get away from there. And then we get someone that will disciple them, a pastor, weekly, and we set them up in a business so they can make some funds that they need to support their family. We even get them a business coach to help them. So the first one Joanne, what did the first couple do? Remember what they did, the first one
that
was free?
Yes, they had a vegetable cart. So we had built for them a brand new cart and a month worth of fruits and vegetables. And then, as Tom said, someone to mentor them and teach them how to sell the produce and make, you know, a living doing this, being in slavery their whole lives. They don't know anything about self-sufficiency. But another piece of that that's really important, Susie, is that in addition to setting them up and getting, you know, people to help mentor them in various ways, especially spiritually, they hire a lawyer and they make a legal document that is signed by the brick slave owner and the people that are being set free so that they can never be entrapped by this owner again.
Whoa.
So that's a really important piece of the puzzle as well.
Love that so much. And so, Joanne, how do they respond to their freedom? You know, you think about the Israelites when they came out of Egypt. You know, they often say they left Egypt, but Egypt was still in them, and it took another whole generation for the freedom to take root. How do they respond to their freedom?
Exactly. Well, one of the things that we've noticed, now they haven't been freed for that long. It's only been a couple of months for the first family. One thing we do notice, though, is in all the photos that we see beforehand, they're always looking down, not smiling, not looking at the camera. Now we're seeing every photo that comes in as time goes on, they're looking up more and more. Their eyes are starting to be filled with hope, and there's tiny smiles on their faces. So they're getting a taste of what it means to live, making their own decisions. In fact, these people have never had food. One woman cried, and she said, "I've never had food left over for the next day." You know, every day was starting from scratch, just getting food to feed her family. So having enough in plenty to have some for the next day was just so big for her. But as you said, you know, when slavery is all you've ever known, it's really hard to break out of that pattern. And so that's why the mentoring process is so key. Someone to teach them not only to think for themselves, critical thinking, but how to learn to decipher God's word and his hope and his plan for them. So they're meeting weekly on that level, and then someone that whose vegetable cart is right next to theirs to teach them, you know, moment by moment, how to have a business. Yeah, it's not an easy thing. You think, oh, wow, I'm free. But when you don't know what freedom looks like, how do you walk in that, you know, in a biblical way? So very good question.
Wow. You know, it's like slaves. You know, what we've learned about in some of our advocacy work is the owners keep moving the line, and the slaves themselves don't know that they have rights. And there's times in these third world countries where there are actually laws on the books are just not enforced. And so they are just subject to this until someone else comes in to be a voice and an advocate, which is what you're doing and what scripture mandates us to. So, man, I just think it's beautiful. Hold the thought, Tom. I can tell you got something to say. We've got to take a break here. But when we come back, Sarah also wants to know, how can we invest financially into this? Others want to know, how can we help free slaves? So maybe you can answer that question on the other side as well. Talking to Tom and Joanne Doyle, our good friends, we're so appreciative of them and the work that they do and the ministry they have to the people in the Middle East, and they do it with such winsomeness and joy. Both of these books, Standing in the Fire, Women Who Risk, I'm not kidding you. You will hold your breath. It's like watching a movie, you know, that you can't breathe until you get to the end of the story. They twist and they turn and they're full of danger and God's intervention. It's just mind-boggling to me. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. If you've got questions or comments, send them in a different text, but to the same number. Here it is one more time, 877-933-2484. Revelation 12:11 says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives even unto death. And may we know on a deeper level the power of the blood, the power of the word of our testimony, and the power of dying to our flesh that we might live more boldly for Christ. I'm Susie Larson talking to my friends Tom and Joanne Doyle. They've got a ministry in the Middle East that is just mind-boggling. And before the break, you were talking about just another initiative in what you all do is buying slaves back, because there are slaves, Christian slaves, who have really no hope for freedom unless someone advocates for them. And for $750, Tom, you were able to purchase a family's freedom and then get them set up with discipleship and coaching. Did you want to say more about that?
You know what? Really, it just reminds me, Susie, of what Jesus did. He canceled our debt,
yeah,
nailing it to the tree. And we send a leader, a lawyer that goes, and the family meets with the brick factory owner, and they sign it, and everything is canceled. It is paid in full. And what a day of rejoicing that is. I mean, that would be like saying to you, okay, yeah, you can buy your freedom, but it's $10 million. You know, it's just unfathomable that this could happen for them. And not only are they set free, but then as they're trained to have a business. And so the debts are usually $1,000 or less, and then setting them up, maybe, I don't know, a couple of $1,000s. Each one's different. But, oh my gosh, are they changed? And one woman, Susie, got so close to the brick factory, putting the bricks in, her arm lit on fire, actually. Mm-hmm. And they had to take her to the hospital and amputate it. Oh. If you can imagine, she lost her arm. That's all she's ever known as the brick factory. She goes back. What do they do? Well, as soon as she hits the brick factory area, she has to go back to work. And when her and her husband were freed, this is a group that they tend to be kind of somber in pictures. There was a smile on her face. She just couldn't believe the gracious love of the Lord and the help of believers that have never even met them.
Mm. Well, let's answer Sarah's question. How do we invest financially into this initiative?
Boy, it's really simple. You can just go to Uncharted Ministries, UNCHARTED Ministries.com. You can go to our website, give now or donate now. And all you have to do is click on Pakistan and the money will go there. And we'd love to have her involved and others that want to help. It's just to see the life change and the pictures, the before and after pictures. Oh my gosh, they are truly blessed and just can't fathom what God has done for them.
Praise God. Well, Joanne, in your Not Forgotten team, you launched a sewing and stitching center to train young teens to make a living. Listen to this, friends, to avoid having to be house cleaners who are often molested and raped in homes. First, kind of set up that scenario, what that's like for them, and then what your initiative is about.
Yes, so these young women, some of them as young as 14 years old, and then some of them in their 20s, most of them are, I think all of them are single, actually. We have 15 young women that we have rescued from this this life that is really not a life. They're trying to help support their family, but these women are raped or molested. They're beaten, and they work their fingers to the bone cleaning the houses of Muslim people. And of course, these Muslim owners know that these young women are believers, they're followers of Christ. So that just intensifies the abuse. And so our leader, the same leader that's been helping us work in the brick factories, began praying. You know, we had this idea, let's rescue these young women. And he began praying for just the right girls, girls that really had a heart for Christ. And were looking for a way to better their lives, but had the motivation to do so. So he found 15 young girls. He interviewed them. He had a specific list of questions to ask them. And then we purchased a building that was kind of falling apart and dirty and old, but in a fairly good part of town. And so we renovated that building, made classrooms, purchased desks, and then bought 15 state-of-the-art, really nice sewing machines, and then also hired two teachers who are solid followers of Christ as well, and they know how to sew really well. And so these women now have been teaching these girls, these 15 young women, for the last several months how to sew. And so these girls are going to go through a six-month program. Not only will they learn how to sew clothing and household items to sell and make a living, at the same time, they're also being discipled. They are learning the Word of God. They are memorizing scripture. They are praying. So it's mentoring mainly on Jesus, but then, of course, this business and learning how to sew effectively. And the pictures that we get back, Susie, oh my goodness, these girls, I mean, they sew better than I do. They sew beautifully in just a couple months, holding up the garments that they're making, smiling, smiling ear to ear. Sometimes we'll get videos and we hear them standing and reciting scripture. Of course, it's in Urdu. It's not in our language, but you can see they're holding their Bibles or maybe they're singing worship songs, and they are absolutely flourishing. And so at the end of 6 months, if these girls, you know, do all the things that they are to do, and of course they had to sign a contract before they started, and in this, it's so sweet, they put like what their life goal was, what their main prayer request was, and various questions. And now our team back here in the States, we have, we all have at least one girl that we're praying for by name, and we know all of her stats. But when they finish this course, Susie, and they complete all the tasks assigned to them, they are given that sewing machine to keep. And then, of course, the mentoring continues. They're able to start their own, you know, work someplace or start their own little business. But the mentoring discipleship continues even after they graduate from the sewing and stitching school. So we are so excited. You know, it's just like rescuing these families from their brickyards. I think of Isaiah 61, where it says, we will build up the ancient ruins. You know, things that were once long devastated, God is building up through these families now that they're being rescued. The families that are set free, their children for the first time in their lives are getting an education. They'll be going to school and learning. These young women are starting a business and able to help their families backwards, then also forward as they marry one day. So it really does affect generations, not just one person.
So good. Got just about 2.5 minutes to our break at the bottom of the hour, Tom. So start with your answer, and then I'll jump in, and if we need to carry it over to the other side, we'll do that. But you also are rescuing young women who've been forced to convert to Islam after being raped and forced to marry the perpetrator. I mean, talk about pure horror for these dear girls. Say a word of what that's like for them. And if you, let's just do that first.
Yeah. Well, there was a young girl, Mihawk, and we actually put her story on 838, our prayer, Facebook prayer time. And here's this young girl. And was she 14, Joanne, 13?
She was 13 when she was first kidnapped.
She's kidnapped by a man that's 25 years older. He rapes her, forcibly converts her to Islam. And when the family goes to court to try to get her free, they say, well, Sharia law is the highest law in this country, and she's a Muslim now. She's converted. No thought about that there was duress, that there was, you know, talk of murdering her if she didn't convert. But do you know that this guy was so evil to her, he actually had to go in for questioning. And she was rescued and got away from him and is in an underground location somewhere in Pakistan. So we praise God. She got pregnant and she had a little girl. Isn't that right, Joanne?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she did. Zarish. Yes, praise God. She's doing well.
And so we are so thankful. It's just one life saved and this precious little girl saved and changed forever.
Wow. All righty. Well, when we come back, we'll hear more stories from the Middle East. God is moving, and these people are brave. And we have to just remember that the gates of hell will not prevail against the kingdom of God. Indeed, indeed. Talking to Tom and Joanne Doyle, drawing from their books, there's some stories, actually we will hear in just a little bit, Standing in the Fire, Courageous Christian Living in Frightening Times. These stories will blow you away. And the one they wrote together, Women Who Risk, Secret Agents for Jesus in the Muslim World. You can text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. And we will be back in just a bit. Made in the image of God. May we see ourselves and others that way. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, talking to my friends Tom and Joanne Doyle. Love these dear people. They do incredible ministry in the Middle East. They're brave, they're courageous, they're humble, and they're winsome and joyful, which I just absolutely love. Their books will rock your world, I'm telling you. Women Who Risk, they wrote together, Secret Agents for Jesus in the Muslim World. and then Tom's book, Standing in the Fire, Courageous Christians Living in Frightening Times. They read like novels or just high adventure movies, because you're hearing these, the way these people who convert from Islam to Christianity and risk their lives and follow Jesus, and they don't go into hiding. They start to preach the word of God, and it's just so unbelievable. I find myself forgetting to breathe when I'm reading them. Got a handful of copies to give away. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. And earlier we were talking about an initiative from the ministry that you're buying back slaves and setting them up in businesses, and it's just powerful. And David asked me to repeat the information about supporting the ministry to Pakistan several times. So it's unchartedministries.com. I got to make sure I'm saying that right. Uncharted. Mm-hmm. Unchartedministries.com. Is that correct? Okay. Yes. And you click on the Pakistan tab, and there you go, and the money will go to that part of the ministry. Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's talk. You have a story, Tom, about Nabil, I think I'm saying his name right, from Syria. Tell us his story.
Yes. And you know what? Susie, this hour could be like called Heroes of Our Faith. When you think about some of the stories, can I just tell one more quick one in Pakistan about a young girl?
Yeah.
Just will blow your mind. Sunita was kidnapped by a group of Muslims. She's 14 years old. They gave her a choice: convert to Islam or be gang raped. And she would not convert at 14 years old. And there are men standing around her, threatening her, and she will never deny Jesus.
Wow.
And she 14. Doesn't. Yeah. 14 years old. They even shaved part of her hair off to disgrace her. She's back now with her family. What a blessing, this young saint. This is like a Deborah from the Old Testament. She would not give in. How thankful we are for her and praying for her. Sunita, pray for her in Pakistan.
How does someone like that recover from trauma that they endure? I mean, you know, I know there are a number of Christian ministries helping these dear souls, but how do you address that?
It is really hard from over here to do that, obviously. But one thing that we've noticed, Susie, well, first of all, our leaders in Pakistan are incredible. I mean, they are so spirit-filled that they are meeting with her. They have women meeting with her, praying through that trauma. But one thing that we've noticed is they don't have access to counselors like we do here in the West. And so I've talked to different women, not Sunita, but different women who have endured terrible things. And it is amazing how truly the Spirit of God is the counselor. And he does incredible healing in ways that is far more, you know, I don't know what the word I'm looking for, but it goes way deeper than counselors do here in the West. And so they definitely need prayer, but he sets them free in a way that we don't see over here, because we do have access to things and ministries to help us when we encounter trauma. But it is a real thing. I mean, 14 years old is such a tender age to have such a horrific thing happen to you. So she has been in hiding along with her family, and the pastor and his team has been meeting with all of them, because not only does this young girl have the trauma, her parents do as well. Think of you as a mom, how you what would you feel if your daughter endured that? How would you handle that? How would you love your daughter and try to help encourage her, you know, when your heart's broken as well? So they all need help.
Wow. Well, Tom, did you want to add something, or do you want to tell us about Nabil?
Well, you know what? It's just, it's a pandemic, the treatment of women. This is the first pandemic, really, in the world, the mistreatment of women. In fact, Joanna's discipling a woman in Saudi Arabia, and she said she doesn't know of anyone in her life, women in Saudi Arabia, that have not been molested or raped. I mean, it's just all over. It's a pandemic.
And you're right. I'm trying to remember which book this is in. I think it's in Women Who Risk. Though Jesus has come to set women free and restore them to their biblical place of honor, the devil is trying to do just the opposite. He seeks to enslave, oppress, and control them. And that's, boy, especially true in the Middle East. And I praise God for ministries like yours to bring dignity back to these dear women and the kind of courage they have. Because one of the things that we've talked about in past conversations is, you know, when Muslim women convert to Christianity, they're like the heart and the gateway to the rest of the family, because they become very bold and they're willing to risk their lives. And then these husbands see a difference and these women and the children do as well. And so there is a powerful movement happening through women in a culture where women are deemed inferior. I mean, say a word about that, either one of you.
It is so true, and that is actually part of our Not Forgotten kind of mantra as well, that Jesus has come to elevate women to their biblical place of honor reserved for them in Jesus himself. And it is incredible when you see, you know, strong male-dominated society, but you see the men respecting these women that have come to faith in Christ. The power of the Spirit radiating out from them is a force to be reckoned with. And so it's exactly what we see. In fact, one woman we talk about, a woman who risks, we've shared her story before, Farah, her husband beat her constantly, but she comes to faith in Christ and this holy boldness comes over her. And the next time he goes to slap her, she says, "Stop it. I am no longer a Muslim. I am a Christian woman and you cannot hit me anymore." And normally that doesn't stop the abuse, but he was so taken back by her boldness and the change that he saw in her life and truly the presence of God, you know, the power of the Holy Spirit fell on him as well. Do you know, Susie, he has not hit that woman again. He has not abused his wife again since then.
Wow.
And yeah, the power of God and how God is using these women is just something to behold that gives such honor to Jesus. It truly does.
Wow, amazing. All right, Tom, you're up.
Okay. Well, you know what? As we're talking about these modern-day heroes, it's like Acts chapter 2021, right? You know, today. And I was thinking about 1 Thessalonians 4, that the Thessalonians received the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And when's the last time you put severe suffering and joy together in the same sentence that Paul does? And that was given to them by the Holy Spirit. They had the joy in the suffering. And that's what we're seeing today. We may not be seeing it here in America. I think it's growing for sure as we're seeing open persecution and accusations about Christians, but just this pure joy in suffering. And one place that is just off the charts with suffering as Christians is in Syria. Can I tell you about Nabil?
Yes, please.
Okay, so we wrote about in Standing in the Fire, a chapter called There's No Place Like Homes. H-O-M-S is the name of the city in Syria. And Fareed and Joseph are two pastors, and they are gospel-sharing machines. They are truly anointed men of God, and they're church planters, and they're working with all groups throughout Syria. Well, you know, Susie, in the Old Testament, it talks about the firstborn and the rights of the firstborn, and they were more significant. They hold the key to the family, and sacrifices for firstborns were more than the rest of the children that were born. And I just had this thought one day, what about firstborn from unreached people groups? You know, there's a couple thousand unreached people groups where we don't know of one believer in that group at all. But when that happens, I think there's an amazing party in heaven that happens. The angels rejoice at one that repents. How about the first one from a people group, the firstborn son? And so Nabil was that firstborn son of the Alawites. He came to faith in Christ, and he was the son of an Alawite imam. Alawite is a split-off group from Islam in Syria. He comes to faith in Christ, and he is bold with his faith. He's got the joy in suffering, and he is getting it from his family and community. Well, his brother told him that if he did not repent and come back to the Alawite faith, he would kill him. And Susie, he gave him the specific day. He said, "Write this down. I will be at your house that day to kill you." So we're all holding our breath, our Syrian leaders and our team here in America. We're praying on that day, and finally get a call from our national leader. And I said, "What happened to Nabil? What did his brother do?" And he said this. He said, "You know, he didn't come. He didn't come to his house." And I said, "Oh, really? Why is that?" And he said, "He died. He had a heart attack, and he died." On the day that he's going to kill this new believer. And Do you know, Susie, that was not the end of it. His cousin told him he was going to kill him. And on the day he set up to kill him, he dies.
Wow.
And it went on and on. Two people in political circles, two from other villages. He has had six people tell him, I will kill you. And they even, in some cases, given the day, like the first few, they all died.
Wow.
Now, you talk about the Lion of Judah protecting the flock.
Wow. You know, one of the things I've been praying a lot in the last month is because I pray every day for the persecuted church, but Lord, show your enemies your zeal for your people. You know, rise up, O God, and show your enemies your zeal. And Joanne, in the book, Women Who Risk, that's that story of that one gal who had demons, and it turned out she got those from being molested by her own father, and she would go into these rages. Well, when she came to Christ, she's in another town where Christians are praying for her to be delivered and to come to Christ. Meanwhile, back at home, her father dies of a heart attack the day, if not the hour, that she came to Christ. I mean, I don't know about you two, but I have really felt, I've been wanting to prepare people. I just get a sense that a great outpouring is coming, but it's going to be great and terrible. There's going to be healings of God and dealings of God. People are, you know, those who've been shaking their fist or thinking they're getting away with things or even professing Christ but living a duplicit life, I feel like the purifying work of God is coming. But those who've been holding on and waiting, I just really believe we're going to see prodigals come home and sick bodies healed and marriages restored. And it is just, it's in my heart. The more I pray into it, the more faith I have about it. But I'd love to know your guys' thoughts about those things.
Well, I love the way you said that, Susie. Say that again. There's going to be healing and dealing. How did you word that?
Healings and dealings is kind of the sense I get.
Wow.
Yeah. I think you are spot on because God knows what's inside all of our hearts. He sees the motivation of our hearts more than we even do of ourselves, of course. And so there are some, they don't even realize, some people that we've talked to, former Muslims that come to faith in Christ will say, I wasn't even searching. Then I began having these dreams about Jesus, you know, every night in a row for 30 nights. And then I meet Jesus the Savior, and I can't get enough of Jesus. So he knew that their hearts would be tender toward him. But then, like Nori, who you just mentioned, her father, God knew that he had a hard heart, that no matter what he did, he would not repent. And so he struck him dead. And
wow,
he was taken out. And even though we don't have those omniscient eyes to see, as you just worded so eloquently, there are going to be healings and there's going to be dealings. And we are just going to observe as God reveals whose hearts are bent toward him and whose are not. I love that.
Yeah, that is amazing. In your book, Standing in the Fire, Tom, Farid, that one of the gospel machines you were talking about, these guys just blew me away. What I love about your books is if you need courage, if you lack courage, you read about these courageous Christians. But I think it was Farid that kept getting death threats from another Alawite guy, just regular, specific, detailed death threats. And so he decides to go pay the man a visit and bring him a Bible. I mean, who does that? He's driving through this war-torn area going, hey, let's go visit. Let's go to his house. I mean, he literally did that. And the next time he wanted to bring his wife back with him because he said, you'd really like his wife, which is amazing. I'm like, wait, what? But she's like so afraid and she's, you know, honey, this is so dangerous. And this is what he tells her. There are three lessons the Lord has given me. We are victors, not victims. The gospel is never in retreat, and passivity and fear bring surrender. And I just, as we get ready to go to break, I feel like as Western Christians need to hear this, because if we love our life so much that we're not willing to die to our flesh, we will see ourselves as victims, not victors. And we
That's
will
right.
retreat from the gospel, but the gospel's never in retreat. And we will forget that passivity and fear will bring surrender. Tom, did you want to just add anything to that before we go to break?
Well, you know, I think it's just amazing that Rashid Abbas that threatened Farid and all of the believers that were meeting with him, Farid said he was creative in how he said he was going to kill us. He said it was actually kind of interesting to read. He had this creativity. He comes to faith in Christ, and he wants to come to the underground church and writes a letter of apology to everyone, saying,
Whoa.
In the name of the Lord Jesus, I cancel every threat I made against Farid Assad and all of you. Wow.
Wow
Amazing.
Is right. Wow. All right. So, friends, when we come back, we're gonna pray for some of you. If you've got a prayer need, we'd love to hear from you. But I'm just going to ask specifically, is there something that when you think about Revelation 12:11, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, love not their lives, even unto death, anything that stands out, you know, fear of safety, fear of losing your freedoms. Is there something that with what's going on in the West right now and the obvious, you know, hostility towards Christians, what are you wrestling with where you're not in a place of peace? We specifically want to pray for that. But any prayer request you have, text it in 877-933-2484. And if you stumbled upon the dial and you're listening, but you have no faith to speak of, we want to give you a chance to say yes to Jesus today. Talking with my dear friends, Tom and Joanne Doyle. More with them in just a moment.
I'm reaching out. I'll chase you down. I dare you to believe how much I love you now.
Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live, having a fantastic conversation with our friends Tom and Joanne Doyle, getting an update from the Middle East. God is on the move, and we can actually learn a lot from our brothers and sisters in the Middle East who really risk their lives every day because the gospel is not and will not be in retreat. But I wanted to give Tom a chance here. If you've stumbled upon the dial and if someone were to ask you, if you were to die tonight, would you end up in heaven in eternity with Jesus? And if your answer is, yeah, because I try to be a good person, that is a false sense of security because that isn't the gospel. But we want to give you a chance to know for certain that if you were to die tonight, you could wake up face to face with Jesus. So, Tom, go ahead and just share the gospel if you would.
Well, you know what? It's so simple. If you're listening to this and it seems foreign to you and you've his whole reason to come and die on the cross was for you, for your sins. We all have sin in our life, and there was a death, there was a burial, and praise God, there was a resurrection because the grave could not keep him. Our sins could not keep him down. He was the perfect sacrifice for our sins. So it's not just saying, okay, I believe Jesus is a historical figure. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians, if we confess with our heart, or in Romans, confess with our heart that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that he's been raised from the dead, we will be saved. You will be saved. So that's all it takes is for you to believe who Jesus is and confess that, believe in your heart, confess it with your lips, and the Bible says you will be saved. And you have that opportunity right now. Can we pray right now, Janet? Susie, sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. I know you're probably on Janet's show a lot, so let's do it. Go ahead. We'll follow your lead, Tom. We'll follow
sorry.
Your lead. That's all right.
Yes. Oh, Lord Jesus, if you have never prayed this prayer, please pray it along with us. Lord Jesus, I know that I have sin in my life. And I know that, Jesus, you are the perfect sacrifice. And I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I know that I have many sins, but you died for all the sin in the world. You died for my sins. I believe that. I receive you by faith. I repent of my sins. And I give you my life now. I pray in Jesus' name. Mm. Amen.
Amen. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, you've literally been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, which means your eternity is secure. The Spirit of God is in you and the promises of God are over you, and you can walk in his presence as you live here on earth. And we're going to continue to pray. We just got a few minutes left, but this dear listener said, will you pray? We're hosting a small group of worship tonight, praying that any spirit of fear around neighbors hearing will be overcome by the boldness and love of Jesus. Joanne, would you pray for them?
Yes. Father, thank you that our dear brothers and sisters are gathering to worship your name, for you alone are worthy, Jesus. So we ask ahead of time that you would fill that space with your glorious presence, that you would push away fear, because we thank you that perfect love casts out fear. And may your word, may your name, and may your glory be seen in abundance tonight. And Father, would you take that fear and replace it with a confidence that comes only from the presence of your Spirit. Prepare each heart to receive what you have for them. And again, thank you that we have the freedom to gather and worship you freely. And we pray in the name of our beloved Savior Jesus. Amen.
Amen. So, Tom, there's a fear around persecution coming to America. And reading reports of this Canadian pastor was holding an outdoor service, so this couldn't have been about COVID, really, but was arrested. There's a picture of his little boy holding his leg, sobbing, and they're taking him away. And so listeners who are so afraid of going, is that coming to America? How will I navigate that? Because I've not known that kind of loss of freedom. Would you pray for that person who's just fearing the news and what may be happening in our nation?
Yes, absolutely. Susie, thank you. Lord, we pray for believers that are fearful right now because what they're seeing in the news, and we don't want to be callous to it or make light of it, but Jesus, you promised that we would be persecuted. They will hate you because they first hated me. And so as strange as it seems in this free country, it's normal, and we've been blessed not to have it. So but we just take great comfort in this verse. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So, Father, I just pray collectively all believers that feel free of fear, would, their chins would just be lifted up, that they'd be able to set their hearts on things above and their minds on things above and not worry, because their life is in your hands. Our lives are all in your hands, and you're the great shepherd of the sheep. So we trust you. If persecution comes our way, may we stand like little Sunita in Pakistan. May we brave and bold and passionate for Jesus. We cannot back down. The gospel's never in retreat, and neither is the mandate you've given us believers to spread the gospel. So, Lord, we pray against fear. We just pray against that spirit of fear because it doesn't belong in our hearts. And sometimes our humanness lets us go there, but just pull us back by your grace so we can live in the boldness, that holy boldness that you give us as believers. Thank you, Jesus, for that privilege.
Joanna, I wonder if you'd pray, this is true, as we know, for both women and men that who've endured sexual trauma. You know, sometimes we just think it's women, but there are plenty of men. And I think there's a stigma that makes it even more difficult for them to admit it. But it's just as traumatizing. But would you pray for those who carry around that trauma that need healing and that God would use them mightily in this day?
Yes, I would be honored to. Jesus, our all-knowing, all-seeing God, everyone that's listening today that has endured some kind of abuse, whether it's physical, emotional, sexual, whatever it is, man, woman, or child, Jesus, we thank you that you saw, that you were there when that happened, weeping with them. And you didn't cause it, but for whatever reason, you allowed it. But you are there now to bring healing. So, Father, right now, would you touch that person that's hurting, that's listening? Would you remind them how deep and intimate your love is? And that, as Tom prayed earlier, greater is he that is in us, Jesus, than he that is in the world. Greater are you than the memory of what we endured. So will you touch those hurting places? Would you bring healing? Would you take the shame that's hidden in the darkness and bring it out into the light of Christ so that it can be healed? And these men and women and children can be set free for your glory. And then, Lord, would you take that pain and would you somehow turn it around to something good that you can use to further the kingdom, perhaps encouraging someone else that has walked through a similar situation. But use it, Lord. What Satan has meant for evil, use it for good, because that is how you work. You make beauty out of ashes. You take our pain, you make it a strength. So will you do that with our dear listeners? And I think of Sunita all the way in Pakistan and her family and the abuse that she endured, being gang raped at 14, would you heal her trauma? Just as you're healing those that are listening, every pain you brought to the cross to bring healing. So thank you, Jesus, that even now at this moment, these men, women, and children are not alone. It is their tears on your face as you weep with them. So bring healing to the deepest parts of their hearts and souls. And would you bring someone alongside them to help them walk through this journey so they know that they are not alone? And if the abuse is continuing right now, Lord, would you set new healthy boundaries and stop that abuse? stop it from continuing and give them the courage and the voice to say no, no more. Rescue them from the situation that they're enduring, we pray. Father, thank you that you tell us to bring everything to you, which we do now, in Jesus' name.
You got to run. You too. Can't wait till you come back again. Continue to pray, my friends. Stand in faith. Now is the time to become a mighty intercessor. Hope you found some encouragement today. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.